This is Side Podcast episode 21, Canada GP. Wow, what a race. Where do we start? I know we should start at the very, very beginning. Not just of the weekend, but of our entire week.
The whole week.
Okay. Firstly, we have had no calls.
Oh no, we did. We had one.
Really?
Yeah, do you want to hear it?
Well, last time I checked, there weren't any.
Oh no, let me play it to you.
Okay.
Hi, I just wanted to say, I really think that guy is smart and clever and right, and I really like his hat.
There you go.
That's you, isn't it?
We've had a call.
That's you.
You said we haven't had any calls. That's a call. All right, it was me, really.
Well, if any actual real life people out there want to call us, here's the number. 0121-282-track. I really think after the race we've just had, you need to call in and tell us your thoughts. Get it off your chest.
Yes.
We have had some cool emails, though. Firstly, from Barry, who said, I listen to F1 podcasts while driving my lorry at night. I have been working back through previous podcasts and look forward to the next. It's nice to listen to people talking with passion, but also naturally about the greatest sport on earth.
Do you think when he's driving his lorry and he's listening to us, he clicks on his CV and goes, breaker, breaker, you know, and talks to other lorry drivers about us?
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be cool?
I don't know about lorry culture.
I hope he does.
Okay. And Christopher said, firstly, fantastic site and excellent posting. It's really useful to have your RSS feed during Grand Prix weekends. And he's just started his own blog at f1voice.blogspot.com, so go check him out as well.
So now you're encouraging bloggers.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This week we also went to London.
Right.
We met up with the cool gents from USP Content. They do all the best Formula One podcasts, the Checkered Flag, Renault, Williams, all that good stuff. And they also do the Radio 5 live coverage as well, which is excellent.
I'm personally a fan of the Renault podcast. I mean, I would be, obviously, but yes. I like it the best.
And they called us up for a meeting because they've heard the podcast and they like what we were doing with our videos. We got to have a good look at their really funky studios.
Which were a bit like a TARDIS, weren't they?
Because they were bigger on the inside?
No! Doctor Who was in there.
Oh, God. Right, yeah.
He really was. Tom, he was actually in there.
Tom Baker was in there doing some voiceovers because they do all kinds of good stuff for radio and TV.
How cool was that? Famous people.
I know. But we were just there for the video previews and they ended up using my script on their video for Virgin.
Oh.
Aren't I smart?
You're all so clever.
It was on the website for a couple of days. I think it might have gone now.
Yes.
But that was super cool. Make sure you look out for the next one.
I've just got to say a huge thanks to the guys from USP Content because they were so nice to us. They gave us chocolates and they took us around their studios and it was just a brilliant day, wasn't it?
It was excellent. Whilst we were on the way to London, because it's quite a drive, we decided to break out the video camera and recorded just a bit of us talking. It wasn't anything in particular, but it was kind of fun and it might be fun to watch. It's our newest idea, Side Podcast Diaries.
Kind of like a video blog on YouTube.
Yeah, so basically just randomly we'll film stuff when we have some thoughts about Formula One. At the moment it's only on YouTube because we're still deciding what to do with it. And it's only one episode old, but go and have a look at it and let us know what you think.
Links in the show notes.
So that's enough about us. Let's get on with the race weekend. I apologise for not having had two separate shows this weekend. It's my fault because I fell asleep.
It's all that fraternising with big media type people, isn't it?
It wore me out. We're kind of wishing we did have two shows because there is so much to talk about. But we'll start at the very beginning. Free practice one. What's important about free practice one? Nakajima made his return. He's been away for a couple of weeks. People thought it might have been to give Ralph the hurry up. But it turns out it was just because he was free this weekend, didn't have a GP2 race on.
It might have been to give Ralph the hurry up too, mightn't it?
Well, you know, that's speculation. Trulli turned up in a pink helmet, supposedly in support of his friend who won a cycling event or something. But I think maybe he just likes pink because he was also spotted in a pink shirt.
A really, really pink shirt.
Really pink. Almost Michael Schumacher pink.
Oh, almost worse.
less said about the better, really, I think. Free practice one ended with Alonso ahead of Hamilton and Raikkonen ahead of Massa. Free practice two, there's a great clip on YouTube of Ralph nearly running over a marmot.
Aww.
It was so cute. I don't know whether he could see it or not, but he did manage to avoid it. Drivers were all over the show in free practice two. The track was pretty dusty. Trulli's suspension broke all on its own.
It did.
Didn't you say I told you so?
Well, at the beginning of the year, we were discussing the new car launches, and it was kind of pointing out that the Toyota was very bunched up and lots of acute angles, and we kind of pointed out that it might be prone to breakage. And it looked like it kind of happened.
Yes, it was a bit delicate.
he truly hit a curb or, you know, gently brushed something. And the team thought he'd smack the wall, but really the car just collapsed around him.
They did manage to fix it, but then it collapsed again.
They sent him out, he did a lap and it fell to pieces again.
They were worried, by the end of Friday, they were worried that they wouldn't be able to continue
the
weekend. So that was quite scary.
Yes.
Kovalainen hit the wall at turn 7.
Oh dear.
Lost his front left wheel. And at the end of free practice, Mark Webber got reprimanded for brake testing Scott Speed.
Yes.
What was brake testing again?
Essentially, he pulled in front of him. Webber pulled in front of Speed and slammed on his brakes and made Speed sort of brake urgently and unexpectedly.
Did they do that on purpose then?
Well, that's what the officials decided it was. He was obviously angry. If you're angry with a driver, I mean, you may do it. I mean, I wouldn't, obviously, but you may do it. Whilst out driving your car, if someone annoys you, overtake them and then slam on your brakes if they're being a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's what he did, brake tested him.
At the end of practice two, it was Alonso ahead of Massa and Hamilton ahead of Raikkonen. It's all the same people. Saturday morning arrived and Toyota believed to have fixed their problem. But Kovalainen's engine went bang in a huge way.
Huge way.
Dropped oil halfway around the track, all the way down the pit lane. The session was red flagged for the majority of it, really. Mm-hmm. Disrupted a lot of the teams running.
Yep.
And also a lot of cement dust had to go down, which could cause havoc for the drivers.
It did cause havoc. I'm surprised in this day and age of technological advances in Formula One that someone hasn't found a way to pick up oil that doesn't involve a man and some cement dust and a broom.
Something better than
because
cement
there
dust.
Was guys out there for hours and hours and hours training around after this oil, and you just end up with dust all over the track, which doesn't help the tyres or the cars. There must be a better way.
Definitely going to be an engine change for Kovalainen, so he will go back 10 places from wherever he qualified. At the end of free practice three, it was Hamilton ahead of Raikkonen and Alonso ahead of Massa. In qualifying one, Coulthard had problems straight away.
He said on the radio that his brakes were crabbing, which basically means he was snatching the car to the left or to the right, and it wasn't going in a straight line when he was braking.
Crabbing. Kovalainen tagged the wall again.
In a big way.
He lost his rear wing, caused a red flag. He was heard over the team radio saying he was sorry, which was really sweet.
He sounded like he meant it, didn't he?
Yeah, it was very sweet. Both he and Coulthard were in the pits, struggling to get their cars back out. They both made it out again, and both managed to take P13 along with Button, who also got that position. They all pushed each other out of the way, and eventually it was Kovalainen that didn't make it through. Given his 10-place penalty anyway, it was turning into a bit of a nightmare weekend for him. Who else didn't make it through? Davidson, Ralph, Wurz, Sutil and Albers. Coulthard continued to struggle into quali 2. His fastest lap was 3 seconds behind everyone else. 3 seconds.
3 whole seconds.
Sato was doing really well, along with Webber, who set the fastest lap for a long time until, of course, the top four came out. They came out and did their bit, and then they went back in the pits again. Raikkonen was actually quite lucky because he only missed the dropout by 0.2 and I think maybe 2 positions.
He was very brave.
Heidfeld had his time deleted for missing the chicane. He went from 16th to 3rd, which was quite impressive, but it did push Sato out of the top 10, which was a bit of a disappointment. I think that was a bit unfair though, because he missed the chicane, so that lap was obviously quicker than it should have been. But they deleted any time he'd ever done and put him down to the bottom of that qualifying session.
Did they?
Which I think was a bit mean. I mean, surely you would just pick his next fastest time, a legitimate time. So Sato was out along with Liuzzi, Barrichello, Coulthard, Button and Speed. As ever, in qualifying three, Hamilton was waiting at the pit exit, ready to go, and Raikkonen jumped him on the way out. Heidfeld was right up there with the fastest guys. It looks like he might have been a bit light because Kubica was quite a lot slower.
He looks like he's on a different strategy, doesn't it?
This time it was Rosberg's turn to have his time deleted.
Is that for the same reason?
I think it was for the same reason, and again, I don't think it's fair. Hamilton got pole, but the Ferraris were kind of slow.
Surprisingly slow.
Mm.
You could argue that obviously Heidfeld was light and out of position, but they didn't ever look like they would be on terms with the McLarens, and that's surprising for a track like Canada where they traditionally go well.
It was all about Hamilton versus Alonso, wasn't
it? Was, and I'm not quite sure where McLarens have managed to make up that gap or where Ferrari have lost it, but that was definitely a surprise to end up where they were. Maybe they were running heavy.
The final qualifying positions were Hamilton, Alonso, Heidfeld, Raikkonen, Massa, then Webber, Rosberg, Kubica, Fisichella and Trulli.
Incidentally, there you have the customer car teams again ahead of the works car teams. with Williams ahead of Toyota and Red Bull ahead of Renault.
We should praise ITV, really, because, you know, we're the first to say when they do something bad. This time they had a really interesting piece with Martin Brundle explaining what an F1 driver has to go through. It was called F1 Insight, and they put some major effort into the production and everything. There was like artistic impressions and all kinds of good stuff. Why isn't every week like that?
It's amazing what a primetime TV slot will get you. And I think the US Grand Prix next week is in a similar time zone, so maybe you'll get something like that again.
A double feature.
Yes.
So here we go with the race. Albers started in the pits with gearbox trouble. Everyone started well, except for Button, who didn't.
Didn't go anywhere.
Had gear selection issues and went nowhere. Alonso tried too hard on the first corner, screwed it up, lost two places, just like he did in Barcelona. But the way he span off and then back onto the track, it was so close to Hamilton. It was like crazy lucky.
I do not know how that guy can mess up a first corner and not lose places in the way that Alonso manages not to. Because for the second time, he only lost about two places, despite the fact he went flying off the track and then cut in amongst all the other drivers.
He didn't take anyone out with him or anything.
No,
it was amazing.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody doesn't raise that in the drivers' meeting soon, like approaching a track after going off straight in front of all the other cars. Yeah. He could have took out his teammate, he could have took out anyone. Slightly dangerous, but a bit of a good save from his point of view.
Both Raikkonen and Webber lost places at the start. Raikkonen tapped Massa and damaged his front wing whilst Webber spun off. But then he started overtaking everyone, and by everyone, I mean Coulthard and Barrichelli.
Right.
They had to put some kind of white powder on the track because it's falling apart.
Yeah.
That sounds rubbish to me.
It doesn't sound very professional. Last year it happened when all the cars were on these, we're in the middle of a tyre war, and all the cars were on these super sticky, super soft tyres that apparently kind of played havoc with the tarmac because they were so grippy and pulled the thing to bits. This year it shouldn't have happened because we're on a control tyre, which is nowhere near as kind of aggressive as last year's, so the track should have been fine. But again, for the second year running, the thing starts falling to pieces. So what they basically had to do, at the far end of the track, they had to put some kind of concrete mesh down and kind of grit that would kind of hold the track together for the duration of the race. Made it very slippery, very dusty, and hard to stop your car in that braking zone.
Hamilton started pulling away with the lead, much in the way Alonso does when he's in front, but obviously he's useless. Scott Speed bumped into Alex Wurz, and his wheel was pointing the wrong way, which was kind of cool. But Wurz's rear wing went missing. There was talk of him having to be called in because it was like dangerous. He was going quite slow, but they decided to keep him out.
Yeah, the rear wing, it obviously takes an awful lot of load. Most of the airflow from the front wings and from the side pods and all that, all the airflow is directed across the back wing. So you get a lot of pressure pulling against the uprights. And if part of it's missing, there's a chance it might break off. If you lose your back wing at high speed at a track like Canada, you could end up anywhere, flying into the wall causing all sorts of chaos and all sorts of damage. So it was an interesting call from the team. I mean, it was probably a good call. And it was obviously good of Alex to stay out in the car. He obviously had a bit of confidence in it, but it could have gone at any time. He could have ended up in the wall. But quite brave, really.
Alonso ran wide, and so did Raikkonen. Seemed like lots of the drivers were struggling to stay on the track. Webber took a position from Liuzzi, but then he braked much too late and just handed it straight back. Alonso made another mistake and let Massa through, but no one noticed. The commentators were just going on about them in the previous positions they were in, and we were like, hello, they've swapped.
That did go on for almost a whole lap, didn't they? Even normal people who don't sit there watching with laptops on their desks, keeping an eye on the numbers. Yeah, even they could see what had happened and the mistake James Allen had made, but there you go.
Yeah, but it wasn't just James Allen, that's the point.
It was about
we
them.
Always pick on them, him, but both of them did it.
They were asleep.
Anyway, Heidfeld pitted and then Hamilton followed him. It was another McLaren perfect pit stop. He came out in front of Raikkonen, but then Sutil hit the wall and brought out the first safety car of the day. Alonso and Rosberg both pitted, but the change in the safety car rules means that the pit lane closes when the safety car comes out. So it was touch and go whether they had made it or not. And they were investigated and the stewards decided they both deserved a 10-second stop-go penalty. When the pit lane actually opened, everyone dived into the pits. The Ferraris were stacked up behind each other. Massa and Fisichella exited the pit lane through the red light because the safety car was going around. That's exactly the same as Montoya did 2 years ago, and he got black flagged. The cars were under investigation.
Strange that it happened at this track again. I mean, I haven't seen a black flag since that Montoya incident in Canada 2 years ago. And then in Canada, same thing kind of happens again.
And then Kubica had a massive smash.
Massive.
I've never seen an accident that big before. He like flipped over, smashed into the wall. He flipped over on the track, went all the way over to the other side of the track and smashed into that wall as well, and ended up sideways.
There was literally just the monocoque left, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was bits of car all over the place. The safety car came out again, and it took almost 10 minutes to get him out of the car. Some of the drivers pitted again to make use of the safety car and get off the super soft tyres. Lietzi always seems to be making good tyre decisions like that.
Is that, what did he choose? The super soft at that point, did he?
Well, when the previous safety car came out, he was on super soft. So this time, he went and changed into the good tyres.
Very clever.
Coulthard, who was still struggling, was asked on team radio how it was going. And he said, there's no grip, it won't turn, there's no traction, but otherwise it's great and I'm having lots of fun. I love that. Half glass full kind of person.
Right. Half glass full.
Okay, you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a half a glass that's full.
Shut up.
I can visualise it. There's Coulthard with his half glass full.
Okay, anyway, so the safety car came back in. Hamilton had a great restart. Sato overtook Raikkonen on the hairpin.
What?
Sato overtook Raikkonen on the hairpin.
On merit?
Yes.
Wow.
Overtaking manoeuvre, Sato, Raikkonen.
Kimi Raikkonen is having the worst season of all time, isn't
ever.
He?
And Sato is having the best.
Well, he is. Goodness me.
And the news came in that Kubica was stable. He was taken to hospital. His manager said he'd spoken to him, he was conscious and almost normal, which I found a bit odd.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, you know, almost normal. After their 10-second penalties, Alonso emerged in 14th and Rosberg in 17th. Davidson span off the track and found himself halfway down the pit lane, so he decided that that would be a good time to pit, but he forgot to tell the team. It looked like Rosberg and Trulli had collided, and because they both span, and Rosberg ended up halfway across the track, but on the replay, they didn't touch.
They just span.
Nowhere near each other, they just span. I was following some live Twitters, and Tom Marshall called it F1 ballet.
Yes, kind of like
it did look like that. Coulthard eventually gave up and retired. Wasn't having that much fun after all. Alonso found some speed and started working his way through the field. I blinked and missed him overtaking Albers. 1 minute he was behind him.
Next
and then
minute,
he was in front of him.
No Albers.
Hamilton pitted for the second time and he came out in the lead. He was that far ahead. He had a pit stop in his pocket. Albers jumped over the curb, smashed his wing to pieces. So, guess what?
Another safety car.
Fisichella and Massa both got black flags for their exiting the pit lane with the red light. I think Fisichella just followed Massa out.
Yeah, but Kubica was there and he had the wherewithal not to jump the red light. He was obviously on the ball and they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, Fisichella did wrong, but I do think he just bombed it after the Ferrari. when the safety car went in this time, the backmarkers were unlapping themselves and I don't understand, it confuses me. Especially because it was just lonely Anthony Davidson unlapping himself.
He was the only one who'd been lapped.
All by himself.
Yeah, it's a new rule for this year. I think we covered it right at the beginning of the year again.
I didn't understand it then.
No, it's just to get him out of the way for restart. So essentially the safety car goes around for an extra lap when it would normally come in. And during that lap, all the backmarkers get out of the way by going past all the front markers and going around to the back of the track.
So have they done an extra lap or have they just unlapped themselves?
They've unlapped themselves, so they're back on the lead lap.
Alonso and Raikkonen pitted at the same time and they raced their way out of the pit lane. Alonso got it in the end. But then Lietzi hit the wall and the safety car came out again. Yay. I hope that safety car driver gets paid by the mile.
Does he? Like to see his mileage claims at the end of the day.
Alonso screwed up the corner, so he let Raikkonen and Ralph through. All that good pit stop work undone. Trulli crashed just after his pit stop.
I call the safety car.
No, it was still out.
Oh, he crashed under the safety car?
Yes.
Brilliant. I guess he's just trying to make Ralph look better.
Barrichello and Wurz were in third and fourth, but we were pretty sure they both had to pit again. There were 10 laps to go. Sato was fighting Ralph for eighth position, and he got it. And then, more unbelievably, he challenged Alonso for seventh, and he got that. So he overtook Raikkonen, Ralph, and Alonso.
All on merit.
It was incredible.
In a Super Aguri.
I actually had my mouth open. My jaw hit the floor.
That man was on fire today.
Barrichello went into the pits, but it turns out that Wurz didn't have to pit again. He was only one stopping, so he managed to bring it home in third, which is very cool.
Very cool for a man with only half a wing.
Yes. Hamilton took his maiden win, and news got through that Kubica was okay, but he may or may not have a broken leg.
Right. So half the news got in then.
Well, McLaren said over the team radio that he had a broken leg.
Right.
But apparently BMW haven't confirmed anything yet.
So. Okay, so we're not entirely sure what his condition is.
But we know that he's almost normal. The top eight finishing positions. Hamilton, then Heidfeld, then Wurz. Kovalainen in fourth. Raikkonen, Sato, Alonso, and then Ralf Schumacher. That leaves the Drivers' Championship with Hamilton well ahead with 48, Alonso with 40, Massa with 33, Raikkonen with 27, and Heidfeld with 26. And McLaren head up the Constructors' Championship as well with 88. Ferrari have 60, BMW 38, Renault have 21, and Williams have 13. So, like, wow.
That made up for Monaco, didn't it?
It really did. I was, like, so looking forward to Monaco, and it was boring. And I was just like, oh, Canada, whatever. And it was, like, the craziest race ever.
I mean, it has been known in the past. Safety cars are almost a given at this place, as they are sometimes at Monaco, but more so at Canada. I love it. I really enjoyed that.
I really
enjoyed that race.
I really like it, but it sometimes gets a bit frustrating because there's no proper racing going on, but at the same time you couldn't complain because it's just instant after instant.
Yes. I mean, it is slightly unfair if you keep calling that a safety car. Lewis Hamilton had had many of his leads reduced each time the safety car came out. He built up a lead, it got reduced. He built up a lead, it got reduced. It must have been really frustrating for him.
But at the same time, when you're under a safety car, no one can overtake, so you're having all those laps free.
Yes.
No one's catching you.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I mean, the safety car was out for an awful lot of laps today, wasn't it? A good majority of the race. And the race, you know, went on for a lot longer than was expected. But Sato, gotta be man of the match, isn't he?
Driver of the day.
Good Lord. So impressed with that guy.
It was really the Alonso bit. Because
yes.
Raikkonen was struggling, clearly, and it was like, okay, he's got Raikkonen. And, I mean, anyone can overtake Ralf these days.
Yeah, I think it's a bit disappointing for Davidson, actually, because this is the second race where Sato scored a point, and he was a bit unlucky and he missed out. But this time, I mean, he was up to third at one point, and I'm not sure that this time it wasn't mostly down to his own doing.
Wurz did really well.
Yes.
Because both he and Kovalainen started well back, didn't they? Kovalainen was right at the back.
Yeah, he started last, plumb last, and ended up fourth, so he had a really good race.
Especially considering he was having a tough weekend, let's put it that way. But Wurz, I mean, he had the whole rear wing problem to start with.
Yep.
So he did really well as well.
I'm going to suggest that Williams maybe consider making that some kind of modification for the US. Just take off one of the wings.
Take off the wings.
They seem to go faster.
Alonso was clearly struggling with his brakes.
Well, we thought it might be the case, didn't we?
He kept missing a lot of the corners.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue there was something wrong with the car. Maybe he caused some damage on the curbs or something in the beginning. But he still missed the first corner. And there was nothing wrong with the car at that point. It was just he misunderstood how the brakes were going to handle. And he got it wrong. He wasn't cautious enough, and it all went to pieces after that. And, you know, I've read the press release he put out at the end of the race, and he kind of blames bad luck for his position. But had he not messed up the first corner, had he been farther up the road when that first safety car came out, he'd have been in the pits being refueled when the safety car came out. He'd have been fine.
You wouldn't have got the 10-second penalty.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
So he kind of made his own bad luck today. He was out of position. He was too far down the track. It should have only been Rosberg who got the stop-go penalty today, because he was in that rightful position. Alonso should have been farther up the track with his teammate, and he'd have been home and dry. The British media are going to go nuts tomorrow, though, aren't they?
I'm not buying a paper tomorrow at all. In fact, I'm not even going to look at the papers.
Really? It's going to be too much to handle.
God.
I'll tell you the best news about the race being overrun, with the safety cars making it so much longer, is that the Hamilton show had to end early.
Absolutely, yeah.
They couldn't
didn't
dwell
even
on
get
it.
To hear them on the podium or anything.
They must have been gutted. We're going to be, I guess Autosport is going to be a bit mad this week. It's going to have some kind of special green cover.
Yeah.
The boy did well though, didn't he?
Oh, there's no denying that he did really, really well. I mean, it was, on the one hand, it was quite easy because he just led from the front.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But obviously with the pressure of the safety cars and everything and all the restarts, I mean, he did really well. There's no denying that the man has talent.
Just don't overdo it.
It's just, you know, he's so lucky as well. He's like, Michael Schumacher used to be the luckiest man in the world.
Right.
Nothing ever happened to him, and I think that Hamilton might be taking his place as that man.
Talking of which, what on earth are Ferrari going to do? Where are they going to go from here?
Now, to America?
Well, obviously. But they've got no answer to McLaren at the moment. They're falling behind. They've got a serious problem with one of their drivers. Massa didn't have a bad, you know, race today. His car wasn't as quick as it should have been, but he was doing okay until he made a slight misdemeanor. What are they going to do about Raikkonen?
I don't know.
Let's put Schumacher back in the car.
Is it? Let's not.
No, no.
What are you saying?
Well, the guy turns up to every race anyway. The guy, he still looks reasonably fit. He looks like he can get back in a car and drive fast. Just, you know, just nudge Raikkonen to the side and say, listen, you're not up to it anymore. You're not doing us any favours. Just stick Schumacher back in the car for another year.
The thing is, when he was at McLaren, everyone was like, he's so fast. If only he had the car under him.
Yeah.
And now he does, and he's still falling behind.
Well, he has a car, he has a reliability, and he's not fast. Maybe he doesn't like the car, maybe he doesn't like the team, maybe he's not happy, but maybe he's just got enough money that he doesn't care anymore. More than likely. Who can tell?
I think it's probably safe to say whether Kubica has a broken leg or not, he's probably not going to be in the US Grand Prix next week.
Given it is only a week gap, no. Almost certainly he's going to be out of it. So who's going to take his place?
Test driver?
Yeah, I mean, BMW have both Vettel and Timo Glock on their books, don't they?
Maybe they'll fight for it. I'll flip you for it.
Either way, it's going to be interesting to see one of those in the race. I'd like to see Vettel in the race, but I'm not sure he has prior commitments. Maybe he's racing somewhere else. It might be Timo Glock.
It'll be better for them if Glock did it, because he's been in races before, hasn't he?
Yes. Was it Jordan or something? A couple of years ago. He has been out there, and he's done a couple of Grand Prix. So that is probably, yeah, he might get the nod.
We'll have to tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, we're going to promise to do two podcasts next week.
No, don't promise.
Oh.
I'll try staying awake.
Okay, we'll get you some Red Bull.
Yeah.
Remember, folks, motorsport is dangerous.